Who's excited, huh?
Oh, huzzah.
So I guess you're all wondering, what are we doing here? But the annual Escape Room Challenge has been a Brewer family tradition for a long time, and I thought it could be fun to share it with my new family since mine couldn't be here, so.
Have they passed?
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about an episode of the series. We're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I am good.
Are you?
It's an anniversary celebration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because yesterday, right?
Yesterday. Yeah. I mean, we're a day off.
Yeah.
It's a belated anniversary celebration, yes. I guess.
And I think we should be clear, not our anniversary.
No.
That's in August.
Oh, are people you need expecting to know? People to send us gifts? Where's this coming from?
Yeah. If people want to send us gifts in the middle of August, when the podcast will have been over for months by that point, feel free to do so. No, an 8-year anniversary of the show.
Yeah.
And we talked about this, I'm sure, on the very first episode, the fact that we didn't watch it when it first came out.
No.
So, and I don't remember... When I first watched it, I started it before you did.
Yes.
Even though you have seen episodes that I didn't before we did this. Mm-hmm. And you've probably seen it more often than I have.
Yeah. Well, I talked about I used to watch it at the gym.
Yes.
As I would exercise.
Yes. During our...
That was short-lived.
Gym membership experimentation that lasted for a while until we went back to work over the summer or after the summer. And we were like, I don't think we use this as much as we used to.
Yeah.
But people are getting a lot of good information here at the top.
Oh, 100%.
And at the top.
No, I don't know if I'd call it good information. I'd just call it information.
They know when our anniversary is. They know we may have gone to a gym for possibly 3 months at one point. That's about it. So if you've been chronicling our lives through this
chronicling, I don't think anybody's been doing that. If anything, they're like, God, I can't wait to stop hearing about these people's lives.
Wait a minute. You don't think people are taking notes?
Studious
they
notes?
Watched or while they listen? Oh, okay.
While they watch. Oh, good God. It's a good thing they can't watch.
Could you imagine? I don't even know. I'm looking around her closet. Where? All we could do is put the camera in a corner like it's... CCTV or something, and like a grainy, choppy feed of us doing this.
Yeah.
So let us know if you want us to do that for the last.
Oh, please
two
don't, because we're not doing that.
Right. Also at the top, since we haven't started yet, I have to apologize for the audio last week. Yikes!
2 weeks
was that
ago.
My fault? 2 weeks ago, last episode. Boy, and it really should have.
We just like to give people reasons.
To stop listening?
To complain? No.
Nobody said anything.
I know. Everybody was very gracious about it.
I mean, I did get out in front and I put it in the show notes for the episode that I really messed up. But boy,
I like how I left our closet and then I just heard you say, oh no. And I was like, oh my God, do we have to record this again? That was my first question. Because I knew something had clearly gone wrong.
Yeah. And I feel bad because while we recorded it, remember we could hear things on the other track through the computer?
Mm-hmm.
Remember we heard Johnny talking about the episode? Mm-hmm. We heard the theme music.
Right.
And that should have alerted me to the fact that the sound was going through the laptop and not through the microphone.
Mm. It's always something.
Carla, I've been doing this for almost 8 years.
Well,
8 years. I've been plugging a microphone in and hitting record.
I don't know what to tell you.
It's shocking, honestly.
Oh, is it?
It is. Okay. Not if people know me. It's not. I feel like there was something else. Oh, just a reminder. This is the, third to fourth to last. There's three more episodes of the show after this one. And as a reminder, and I'll try and say this before every episode in case people just kind of, I'm going to say, fast forward to the first 5 minutes because they don't want to hear us just talk about nonsense. Mm-hmm. That we will be doing a final wrap-up episode. So when you hear us talk about the very last episode, what's the title? I don't know. What's the show title? The last episode?
Isn't it like Warmest Regards? Best Wishes, Warmest Regards.
Yeah, something
regards.
Like that. Yes. Yeah. That's not going to be the last episode. We will have one more. So don't be. Why are you so upset? It's like you didn't know this. Do you fast forward through this?
Yes.
Do you shut
every week?
You shut your brain off for the first 5 minutes of us recording?
Of course I do.
Once I give the air date of the episode, you kind of like tune in.
Yes.
Like, all right,
get ready.
Show's on.
Yep.
But no, we will do a wrap up episode. So we will just sort of end that final episode very abruptly, like we do now, and don't be concerned that you will never hear from us again. I don't know.
It'll be like a warmest regards forever kind of threat.
You'll punch the microphone and that'll be the end of
it. Maybe. You never know what's going to happen.
Wow. So I guess that's it, right? We got nothing else.
No, I don't know.
I do another podcast, Good Times, Great Movies.
Oh, I have to. Shameless plug.
I have to try and get it in. I might put. I've done this before where I put episodes into this feed. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll do that.
Oh.
Because we talked.
So ignore those episodes. Yeah, right, when they
yes.
show up in the feed.
Right. Well, last time I didn't even put a preamble. And there were some people that were like, I don't know what was happening. It was your voice. Like, I normally come on and say, hey, everybody.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do that. But I might do that because we talked about a movie called Victor Victoria, which is very cabaret adjacent.
Oh, you did mention that.
Yeah, that's how it felt. So maybe I'll put that one in as a final reminder.
I will not be watching
that. Okay. It's
we're listening.
Cabaret was kind of downbeat.
Okay.
And sad. I mean, there were Nazis in it. This is much more lighthearted.
I already forget what Cabaret was about.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. As long
like
as
when you just said there were Nazis in it, I don't remember that.
What? There were Nazis in a dancing gorilla? You don't remember that?
Oh, the gorilla I remember. I needed to hear that to jog my memory.
All right. And you know what? As long as you remember that Stevie sang a song, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. 100%.
You don't need to think of Cabaret as anything other than
Stevie.
Something that was done in a season of Schitt's Creek.
I am good with that.
All right. So let's get started because we're talking about season 6, episode 11, The Bachelor Party. Original air date, March 17th of 2020.
The world had officially shut
God.
Down.
Wait, you are.
No, just because I remember
when
when COVID really, like, all of a sudden everything shut down and there was, like, no school and there was no, like, I remember looking forward to this to have something to do because it was like, don't go out of your house. Don't go anywhere unless it's necessary.
Right.
Nobody was going to work. Like,
mm-hmm.
While things kind of happened in the interim, you know, like we were supposed to have 2 weeks off of school, which it wasn't. But, you know, I just kind of remember like thinking, oh, my gosh, at least we can look forward to this.
Oh, yeah,
to
sure.
have something to look forward to. And that's why I just have been kind of like waiting till we like officially hit that.
And then were you panicking knowing like, oh, no, the series is going to end soon?
I don't know, but I do remember we held on to our cable so we could watch this finish out on, why can't I think of the channel?
I'm going to say
Pop.
The CW. No,
no
Pop. It was on Pop. I know.
So we held on to cable because we had been wanting to,
yes.
to cancel our cable subscription, and we held on to it so we could finish watching this. And then after that, we canceled.
Yeah.
We got rid of cable.
Again,
and that's all.
Just things you guys need to know about us. No cable. We're a
cable-free
family at this
back
point.
To the Bachelor Party.
All right. Okay. So the Bachelor Party, directed by Andrew Cividino. We've talked about him quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll have two more episodes that he directs of the final three. He'll do the next one by himself. And then I think he co-directs with Dan Levy. I think the season... or series finale, I think. This is written by David West Reed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is his last episode as a writer.
Aww.
So it's a big...
Goodbye to David Westreed.
Goodbye to David Westreed. He
Warmest regards, David Westreed.
So he wrote 15 total episodes. Mm-hmm. Pretty
Seems
good.
Seems like more than that.
It does seem like...
I feel like we talk about him a lot, which 15, I guess, is a lot.
But yeah, well, he
seems
did,
like it should be more.
He did 15 since season 3. He wasn't a part of the show in the first season. And I think in the second season, he was a script supervisor or something mm-hmm. like that. But he's done 15, so pretty prolific writer on the show. But I think, and I went through his episodes, and they're all good. They're in the middle, nothing down at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. I think his crowning achievement in our eyes is writing MVP. I think
that was
of the 15, and we'll, you know what, we'll see where this lands. But of the 15, mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say MVP is his highest mark from us. I mean, mm-hmm. that's in both of our top tens. And I think, you know, with 3 episodes left after this one, I would say there's a really good chance that that remains in mm-hmm. both of our top tens by the end of this. Mm-hmm. Wait for the final list, everybody.
Oh.
We'll go through
with
it.
With anticipation.
Again, I assume people have been taking notes and they don't need us to recap. All right, so let's get into this and let's start with, like I said, I hit play on this yesterday and...
It's a very abrupt
We were
beginning.
2 seconds in and I'm like, wait, is this how this... episode begins? It seems like we begin in the middle of a scene.
Well, normally they like show...
An exterior shot.
Yeah,
we get the little drum thing.
Right.
We don't get any of that here.
Yeah. At least that's how it was on Hulu, right? We're watching it now.
You know what? We did miss the first 2 seconds, so maybe...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I bet there was something there.
All right. Everybody, let us know.
Oh my gosh. I thought when you replayed it, you like went back.
I thought I did too.
I don't remember.
Anyway, this is the great scene with their gimmicky shirts for their bachelor party.
Yes, their stupid t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. I like how David says, mine's missing the I'm with.
Right.
And of course, Stevie says, no, I had yours
custom made.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it's David Patrick Stevie at Patrick's. We didn't really then set the scene as to where they were.
Right.
So, yeah, that's where they are.
Yeah. So, Stevie, as we learned earlier, she's in charge of planning the bachelor party for this.
Which is probably a mistake.
She's said that
multiple
times. I mean, she said that so many times and now really says, like, remember, I told you this was not a good idea. Before I lay out what we're doing... I told you many times this is not a good idea.
Right.
And so you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Uh-huh. Yep.
We do find out that David sent her a 7-page email about what he prefers. Because I guess she's trying to put in things for each of them.
Of course.
Things that they would both enjoy. Mm-hmm. And we do find out that this is kind of a family-only bachelor party, except for Stevie, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, let's get into what, I guess maybe what David wanted?
Yeah.
Or the part of this that is David's choice.
Yeah, well, he wanted something chic and elegant.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting apps and shots at the Wobbly Elm. That's the chic and elegant part for him.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, totally.
I think he refers to it as depressing.
And then to satisfy Patrick's interests, they are going to Elmdale's one and only escape room for a fun group game.
It's, well, you said one and only. She refers to it as the finest and only escape room in Elmdale. And Patrick is so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his face, he is so jazzed for this. And we find out later why.
Yeah.
But again, he only wanted one thing, so this is coming true. Mm-hmm. Also, at the end of this scene, Stevie talks about the fact that we could do something on David's list if he's willing to pay for the
Tahitian dolphin cruise.
Okay. I messed up.
Oh, gosh. What did you write?
Golfing cruise.
Oh, dolphin.
And I was like, David does not seem like anyone who would be interested in golf.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong, but it's a good thing. Because then I was like, are they just hitting balls off of the boat? Or does the boat take them to some sort of golf course in Tahiti?
It's a dolphin cruise.
I love that so much more.
Yeah.
I'd really enjoy that.
Yeah. They also mentioned the family and all of them coming. And Stevie said they have not responded to a single email. None of them.
Which is wonderfully paid off later when Alexis is like, well, didn't I tell her I couldn't come? Or at least I maybe composed an email or thought about writing an email or something like that.
Yep.
It's really great. Mm-hmm. So now we get our title card and we're sort of into the episode.
Yep. Next we move on to the cafe. Can we what?
Can we say real quick, this episode is, and we don't like to spoil our thoughts on episodes, or we don't, you know, we rank them at the end and everything like that. This episode, in my mind, I remembered the escape room part of this. Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised going back and rewatching it that the escape room kind of is the entire episode. I know a few other things happen, but it doesn't seem as...
It's like short scenes that you kind of go to and then don't come back really to revisit.
Right. And we don't need to because the whole family's together in this escape room.
Well, but I do feel like the other running thing that goes throughout the whole episode is Johnny and Stevie and Roland and their...
Well,
you know.
And Alexis and her, you know... continuous Ted issues.
Yeah, but I feel like the Johnny storyline is kind of major.
No. We're ramping that up.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there's not characters in a bunch of different locations doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate that. Like I think I've said before, like when the whole family's together, whether it's at the end of an episode, which they do a whole lot, but if it's the bulk of an episode, I kind of like that. And I always wonder sometimes, is that more difficult to write and to direct than all these different things? Like handling, when we get to the escape room, and of course we'll get there, you know, we're talking about six people in a room, six major characters who all need something to do and something to say. I just wonder if that's tougher or easier to write. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. So let's now talk... Let's go to the cafe.
Yeah. Twyla.
Okay.
Ronnie, Moira, which is a fun little trio.
Always.
Not a trio we see together a whole lot.
No, I wonder if they're, did they have a Jazzy Gals rehearsal?
I don't know.
Or are they getting ready to go to one? Or are they just all together at the cafe because it's the only place in town that everybody goes?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But Moira's doing her storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
She's telling all about... her meeting with Tippy and all the things that, all her demands and everything else. She has her lovely silver hair for this episode.
Until the end.
Yeah.
She puts on that curly wig, which I don't like.
Yeah, the silver hair's fun.
Oh, the silver hair's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she kind of has them...
silvery gray, I guess
you
kind of have to say.
They're sort of... captivated by this, like interested in this sort of retelling of the demands and how she...
I think Twyla is always interested.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ronnie is sarcastically interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, no, that's a good point.
Yeah. Like, Twyla's always like, I feel like I'm waiting on a celebrity and
she does
and
say that
else.
At the end,
and,
yes.
You know, whereas Ronnie is much more kind of sarcastic about things.
Right.
But this is when Moira shares that she has gotten an offer to be a spokesperson for an airline.
Mm-hmm.
But
an
it's
international
really just,
airline.
Yeah, but it's really just kind of like radio voiceover.
Right. I assume they fly from Canada to the U.S. and back. That's the internationality of, spoiler, Larry Air.
Right, yeah.
This, I did find this really interesting. There are two things that happen with characters in this that caught my attention. One is after Twyla says that she's waiting on a famous person and Moira says, you're not waiting. She is already, she like stumbles over the word arrived. Mm. Did you notice that? She was like, she says she's already arrived. And I thought, was that a mistake that they kind of just left in, or is she sort of hesitating because maybe she's not as confident? But no, at this point she's filled with a bunch of confidence because mm-hmm. she turned them down, but now she has prospects on the horizon.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering. Sure.
It wasn't a.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, it wasn't an inflection in her voice. It was a trip mm-hmm. over the word, which I thought was strange. Mm-hmm. So now let's go to the motel office.
The office. The lobby area, sure.
And Johnny is...
It's a Stevie Johnny Roland scene.
It's a business meeting.
Why
they didn't just have their business meeting at the cafe is beyond me.
Well, right, because Roland had a hot BLT waiting for him, and he didn't want to keep her waiting. So yes. Is that referring to the sandwich, or is Jocelyn the hot BLT?
Wait, hold on. No. I did not take that as a playful nickname for Jocelyn.
I did.
You didn't want to
keep her waiting?
I just thought he was, you know, giving his sandwich some pronouns or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was referring to Jocelyn.
Wow,
like,
okay.
Like a hot little BLT.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, that's actually pretty funny. Because
he didn't want to keep her. Otherwise, why would he?
In my mind, I was like, did he just leave his sandwich, like, on the table?
I don't know. I assumed he was referring to Jocelyn and calling her, like, an affectionate hot little BLT.
Wow, okay. Oh, that's kind of fun. Yeah, boy, I just thought he was like, I don't know, Twyla, don't let somebody sit here. I guess I'm coming back later to finish my meal. Oh, wow. Boy, I might have been super wrong with this.
I don't know. That's how I interpreted it. Doesn't mean it's right.
No, that's okay. So, Johnny...
Johnny's building up a lot of excitement for something that isn't exciting
the for them. Potential to have a potential meeting...
Yes.
All hinging on the possibility of a return phone call?
Right, yeah. He reached out to Mike Morrison, who was his former assistant.
Right.
And kind of started, he wanted to sort of get the ball rolling to talk about this new business venture that they want to go into. So he's hoping to have a meeting with a formal pitch and everything with him.
Yes.
So they might have an investor / meeting. So nothing has... happened except a phone call,
right?
And a message was left.
I like the fact that Stevie and Roland are both extremely underwhelmed by this news, but it doesn't really deter Johnny. Like, Johnny's still, mm-hmm. even after they seem less than enthusiastic about this, he's still so jazzed mm-hmm. about this. But again, you know, with him, I think that he's so optimistic for the most part. I know we talked about it last episode.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of always has been.
Yeah.
You know, we've always said he's kind of like the glue that holds everybody together.
Exactly. So do you think way back when he's in Bob's garage and stuff, do you think this is his whole plan is to, I got this Mike Morrison guy and I can give him a call. If I come up with a good enough idea... I can maybe reach out to this guy.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he's been keeping him. Yeah. No, I don't get that vibe.
No,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think he's just thinking he's, what did he call him? A venture capitalist or something? I don't know what that really means, but.
Don't ask me. I was hoping you didn't ask me.
Oh, all right.
Mike Morrison has a lot of money.
Okay.
And so what he does is he gives money to people to start their dreams.
Yeah. Okay.
He's a dream starter.
All right. So, So I don't think he was always banking. I mean, maybe he was. I don't know.
But it's surprising that he still has a contact that he is as, I don't know, not reliant upon, but he's got a very... He really thinks that this is going to work. Like, he thinks that this Mike Morrison guy is going to be on board, where we haven't really seen any evidence of people from their past really wanting anything to do with them.
Yeah, I'm just assuming he's thinking
this is a good idea.
A good business venture.
Right.
So he is going to want to be a part of it.
This guy would see it as an opportunity for him to make money as well. Okay. So let's go.
So they might be getting a phone call and have some big news. Probably.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
Also, maybe don't leave Roland in charge of the phones, which is an odd line in this episode.
Yeah.
So now let's go a few doors down. Mm-hmm. Alexis is in sweatpants.
Yes.
And we find out later has not showered for days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David comes in and he's really excited, quote unquote, about this bachelor party, or just trying to touch base, like making sure everyone's on board, because he did just get the news that nobody's responded to Stevie.
Yeah. Yeah. But Alexis is kind of wallowing in sorrow yet again.
Yeah.
A desert daisy, quote unquote, slash succulent, from Ted has died.
Yes.
Succulents don't need a lot of care.
No.
They need water like once a week.
Well.
And that's about it.
I mean.
Well, cold air will kill one. Yes. That's for sure.
I left one outside. But
And it was a big, gorgeous plant.
What kind of plant is that?
A jade plant.
It didn't completely die. I brought it back to life.
Wait. That's a different one.
Was that a different one? Oh, okay. Whoops.
No, the other one, all the leaves fell off. Oh. And then the stem got
right
soft and
yeah, you're
broke.
Right. And then
yeah,
my sister gave
different
her
one.
Part of hers. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Boy. I was really
proud
of myself.
Yeah, so succulents are, you did not bring that dead succulent back to life, just as Alexis will not be able to bring her succulent back to life.
Or daughter killed one, too. She had one in a little tiny pot, but she just left it in her window, and she closes those black curtains like she lives in a cave and just forgot there was a plant on the other side.
It's like a witch's house in her room.
It's like a witch's house, yes, to bring it back to Alexis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I care for plants much the same way she does, this dead Ted plant.
Yeah, but usually succulents are pretty hardy, except for, obviously, cold temperatures or hidden behind curtains, I guess. So she's super depressed. She's like, I really think, you know, this is probably like a sign, you know, like, again, our relationship has died. My plant has died. And I like how, you know, this is where she comments and she's like, oh, I'm pretty sure I sent an email telling her I couldn't come or maybe I meant to. And then, you know, she's still struggling. And David said there's only space for one unstable sibling in this family. And that, like,
that's
you know,
been me for
yeah,
a very long time.
Yeah, that job has
time.
Been taken.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's a real sort of like, I think this is interesting because I think that, you know, this whole episode, I believe, and I'm not saying that the Ted thing is over and behind her, but I feel like she turns a corner in this episode where we've been waiting for her to turn this corner.
Yeah.
And she finally does, but it's not just because of really nice, kind words from David until later on. Right now, it's sort of like he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, too. And he's like, I don't need to deal with this right now.
Yeah. Yeah. But she talks about, you know, she starts to second guess everything she's doing. Mm-hmm. You know, she was like, I don't know. I'm starting this business. How many people in this area really need a publicist?
Exactly.
And she's just second guessing everything.
I do like how she says, and I have to try and get my client to a meeting, to where I'm like, who's her other, what meeting?
Oh, you didn't figure out that
I'm a little slow here, so
I also
I didn't
like
figure
that
it
David
out.
Tells her you should just take some of Mom's happy pills and just, you know, be
see
ready to,
yeah,
be ready to
just
to
have
roll.
To get through one evening in an escape room and back to that old wobbly elm again.
Mm-hmm.
So Moira does come in for her meeting,
mm-hmm.
and while she's there to sort of get Alexis off her butt and going, she does mention, we forgot to mention earlier how David confuses an escape room for the movie Panic Room.
Oh, yeah.
Because Moira does as well and says, I don't think I'll be able to watch Panic Room with you.
Uh-huh.
But I love how she says Joe Foster
screened
it for her.
Right.
So that's where this scene sort of ends.
Yeah, they're kind of getting ready to head to Moira's voiceover work, her gig.
It's radio. I like when she says it's a commercial and then just has to say radio.
Right.
Radio spot.
Yeah.
And so now, okay. So now let's go outside because we're just hanging out at the motel for a while.
Yeah.
Because now we're outside getting ready to go to this bachelor party. Stevie's got David baby picture.
David and Patrick. One's David, one's Patrick. Right, those are exactly. actual pictures, I believe, of the two of them when they were younger, that age, which is super fun.
I gotta say, not an embarrassing picture at all.
Oh my gosh, David they seems look very upset about this by the end.
I don't understand. Yeah, it's not a picture of him as a kid, like picking his nose or something. I mean, he's very upset by this, yeah. and I don't quite understand.
No, they look super cute.
They're very cute.
I also noticed, and I thought this was, I don't know, maybe I thought it was interesting. Like the plaid, like Johnny was in a plaid suit, Stevie was in her plaid shirt.
Whoa.
Like,
okay, I didn't
even... I sort of liked that little like connection.
Wait,
with
is Johnny in a plaid suit throughout mm-hmm. this episode?
I'm not sure, but I definitely noticed it there because it was like a really subtle plaid on his suit. Even... And then Stevie was obviously standing there with her plaid on and everything. Man, and I just thought that was fun.
I didn't even notice, but that's really great because I think sometimes we get a little not critical. Of what Johnny wears, but everybody else in this family.
I don't ever get critical. I love Johnny always looks great in every suit he puts on.
I'm just saying, but he's always he in a always suit. Kind of looks the
or his
same.
Ebenezer Scrooge look is also equally as fun.
Again, I'm assuming the manufacturers of Funko Pops listen to our podcast. Why are we not getting Johnny Cookout white suit?
Ebenezer Scrooge Johnny would be super fun.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Like we already have, what, two Alexises.
Uh-huh.
Three Davids because of
the cooking one.
Enchiladas. Right? I don't know. Three Moiras? Four Moiras? I have no idea at this point. And there's just a single Johnny.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to put
looked
out
recently, maybe there's something else, but I feel like we probably would have seen it somewhere in passing.
Yeah.
But,
so if you're not going to put out other characters, if you're not going to give us a legit Patrick or something like that, like just do Johnny variations. And right there, white suit Johnny and Ebenezer Scrooge Johnny. Perfect. Yeah. You're done. You don't need to do more. Maybe a plaid suit if you want. So he and Stevie are sort of loading up the car for this event, for her to go set up at the Wobbly Helm. And Roland comes out, and Roland usually. I'm a big defender of Roland. I know there are people that don't like him. I think his character's fun. I think his character's funny. And I think he's just the right amount of stupid. This is too stupid. This is way too dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Because he gets a call from Mike... to where he heard Johnny say Ike, and he thought it was weird that the names were so similar.
Right.
It's really crazy, and also the fact that it appears that they've all been together for a long time, and that nobody was within shouting distance of this particular phone call.
Yeah, he's not good at manning the phones.
Why is he in charge of phones?
He shouldn't be in charge of anything.
I can't believe it. Yes. Just the fact that I love Stevie's thing where she goes, we shouldn't have put him in charge of phones. And I was like, I don't think that's a thing. I don't think you divvy up responsibility and go, Roland, you're in charge of phones.
I thought he was just in charge of maintenance around the motel. That's what it was supposed to be. But we never see him doing any of that. It's always Johnny or Stevie pushing around a cart. I mean, not that that's maintenance necessarily, but, like, they're always doing the housekeeping part of it.
Oh, no.
You know.
We only see Roland, like, wandering into the office. Yeah. And then sometimes they're all together and clearly nobody's working there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, you know, he's handling it this evening. He does try and get in on this bachelor party and refers to him as the godfather.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense at
all. Yeah, because that's when Stevie's like, oh, it's family only. And that's why he's saying, like, oh, well, I should be able to come as the godfather.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
Yeah.
So now, and since that's, you know, and Johnny gets upset and is like, well, why, you know, of course it's Mike and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And he calls him back and has to leave a message, which...
which is a terrible message.
It's not a great message.
Yeah.
Roland does mess with him at the end when he's like, I don't think you said your name.
Right. Which is funny. His name about five times.
Right. Yeah. So now let's go to a
recording
studio.
With Alexis and Moira.
Yes.
This is where we officially learn that she is a spokesperson for Larry Ayer. Yes.
Larry Ayer playing a big part in this final season of this show.
Yep.
So Moira's in the studio reading these lines, mm-hmm. and the whole time it's basically like, just read what's on the right. script and we'll pick the best one later. Or we'll mm-hmm. move stuff around.
Right.
I would assume that Moira is no stranger to this. Mm-hmm. I would assume that, you know, while it's not necessarily a feature film, they probably did some of this stuff in Sunrise Bay. And I would also assume the Crows Have Eyes movie is probably so cheap that they would have had to go back into a recording studio and, like, do their lines again later on maybe. To sort of overdub and mm-hmm. stuff like that. But she's realizing that this is not the pinnacle of her career.
Right, yeah.
So there's a sound engineer here, mm-hmm. played by Daniel DeSanto. Mm-hmm. He's a really, really big voice actor and was a regular in animated series like The Magic School Bus and Paw Patrol.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I watched The Magic School Bus quite a bit.
Yeah, you do. I've never
Not
seen
just
it.
Hanging out at home, but at work.
Not just at home. Only sometimes
But
at
you
home.
Know what, though? I wonder if he's on the newer episode. There was like, they kind of like rebooted that, I think, and have done newer episodes. Watched the old school Lily Tomlin
What's Lily Tomlin ones?
Mm-hmm. She was Mrs. Frizzle.
What year would that be?
I don't know what year they're from. Probably the 90s, I would think.
Okay, well then I guess he's on the reboot.
Yeah, I think they recently like started like doing other ones. Like,
well, he was probably more early 2000s.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know that it matters, but I mean, it
certainly matters to him.
Yeah.
But he's also appeared in some TV shows we've discussed, like Rookie Blue, Lost Girl, Titans, and Working Moms. Mm-hmm. So the main thing with this Larry Ayer thing is that all of the lines just rhyme.
Yeah, but they rhyme poorly.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, we really care at Larry Ayer.
Yeah. That's your derriere on Larry Ayer. I liked that one. But then they had one that was like from here to there, or from there to here, yes. or something. And she's like, no, it should be here to there.
Take
but
Larry
she
Ayer
basically,
from there to here.
Yeah, she basically has a comment about every single one. Like, oh, well, that's catchy. And then it's like, oh, well, that should be switched. And that's when they're kind of saying, like, please just read them.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy's like, we didn't write them. They were just given to us.
Right.
You just need
the
to read them as
isn't
is.
Here.
We don't right. We don't have the capability to change them.
Guy's like, listen, this is my job. I just hit record. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's all a sound engineer does, hit record and stop. I couldn't be one. Mm-hmm. We heard her last episode.
Right.
But yeah, she's not having any of this. And more than that, I think she's seeing that this is a huge step back, mm-hmm. and potentially she made a pretty big mistake in passing
right.
on the Sunrise Bay reboot.
Yeah, because Alexis goes in and talks to her, which of course then they can hear everything.
Because
the mic is picking up their whole conversation.
Yeah.
But Alexis is kind of saying, like, I'm really sorry. You know, like, they wanted Moira to have higher energy and read through them all. Mm-hmm. And Alexis is like, I'm really sorry. This isn't a good... This is like a step down and everything else.
It's like we're both doing a really bad job at our jobs right now.
Yeah.
And she even says, like, why don't you go get this car started?
Right.
I'll just meet you.
And I'll cover for you.
Yeah, I'll cover for you. Right after that guy said, I can hear everything you're saying,
right.
they say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So Moira makes a quick exit,
mm-hmm.
to which then the best part of this scene.
It's the best part of
when
this.
When Alexis tries to mimic Moira. And do, like, a quick little recording.
It's not bad.
No.
It's not bad at all.
No.
I love how the line is, try one of our in-flight meals if you dare. Which, again, it's a really, really bad line.
Yeah.
But it's very funny. And also, I think her imitation of her mother... is fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
She also... There's also the clip that you can watch, like, online that... Annie Murphy, like, tried to mimic and redo the Herb Ertlinger's commercial.
Oh, I don't think I've ever
seen that?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, my gosh. You have to look that up.
Okay.
Watch it. It's hysterical.
I will.
Yeah.
Right after this, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
I like how this also ends where she says something like, no, this isn't working, and takes off her headphones and just puts them down with a little, and does that a couple times, and then just leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So now... And I know I said, listen, other stuff happens in this episode, but now we're into the bachelor party.
Yeah.
We are
at Elmdale Escapes.
Elmdale Escapes.
That's what it's called.
And I can't believe, how is Patrick possibly late for his own?
Yeah, I know. I was kind of thinking that too. Maybe the rest, I can't imagine they were all early. They don't strike me as an early crew.
No, I'm surprised they showed up.
Yeah.
But I guess, know, David has sway on his family. Yes. And, you know, maybe had Moira stayed, they would have been late or not made it. But the fact that they cut out means they don't have anything else going on. Yeah,
I like David's little crown with, like, the little pink feather on it.
It's very fun.
Very fun.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they're in their stupid T-shirts.
Yep. I love the disinterested guy just working at the counter behind them.
Yeah, I don't even know that he thing. Really... Yeah.
No, he doesn't...
No.
I did look up... I do like to give credit for people. There is a voiceover? Like a,
I don't
like
feel
a,
like he talked
PA.
At all.
No, he doesn't talk.
Right.
But there's a voice on the PA mm-hmm. telling them what's going on.
Yeah.
No credit for that person.
That's
Who
weird.
Gets credit? Mike on the phone then later.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So Patrick's a little bit late, and before he shows up, David's just trying to get everybody on board. Like, it's a really, like, mm-hmm. listen, nobody wants to be here, mm-hmm. but let's do this for Patrick.
Right.
Patrick comes in, and before they all jump in, we've said how jazzed he is, and he talks about how this has been a brewer family tradition.
It can't have been a family tradition for that long, because escape rooms haven't been around for a super long time.
This is...
I don't really remember when that, like, whole craze kind of started.
This is the research. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, real-time research. Get ready. Buckle up. Buckle up, kids.
Because I wondered the same thing, and I wanted to know, like, how long... Wow. Okay.
Longer than we thought?
No.
Oh.
Possibly shorter than we thought.
Like 2019?
Okay.
All right. Okay. 2015?
All right. Now, hold on.
Go ahead.
The first escape room was in 2007.
Oh.
In Japan.
Okay.
So I don't know how long it took for them to get to us or become popular or anything like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
I've
never done one, so I don't know.
Oh, we got to talk about this. I want to do one so bad.
What?
I do. But I also kind of don't because I feel like...
It's embarrassing if you can't get out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like I really want to do one because I like to think that I'd
that
be really good at it.
Yeah.
But I would be very,
very... Do you want to do one for your birthday next year? I'll plan a whole thing. Everybody can come to an escape room. Oh, God, he's actually thinking about it.
Well, I'm thinking
this.
About it. I mean, we're already...
I'll plan one. I'll be like the roses, and I won't RSVP.
Wow, by 2019, there were 50,000 escape rooms worldwide.
Okay, I said 2019.
Wow, okay. Man. Yeah, it seems like 2012, 2013 is when they came on.
Okay.
But that's still, I mean, this is 2020. So, I mean, we're talking about the first escape room they could have possibly gone to was 7 to 8 years ago. So it's not like it's a tradition that has been passed on through the generations.
Well, no. I mean, and they didn't say that. But,
no, I know.
You know,
But I guess if you're doing it for 6, 7 years.
I don't have a competitive bone in my body. And it just feels like something that's like competitive. I'm not a board game fan.
But you're only
much.
Competing against.
Like sometimes I enjoy playing board games, but sometimes I don't. It just kind of depends. I know you're competing against a clock, but that just is not.
Is there too much pressure?
Actually, I've never been to an escape room, but we have had to do this, like...
Oh, no.
There are like, kits and things like that you can get for kids to do this, like, at school. And we had
terrible.
To do one once. And it...
Like,
I
your
just
class?
Was like, no, no. The adults, like, as a staff. It was almost like a...
Like an icebreaker?
Yeah, like an icebreaker, like, community building activity. And after about a minute, I was like, yeah, I'm out. I'm like, I'm not. Like, I'll watch, but I'm not trying.
You'll sit in a chair by a desk like Moira
no, I didn't,
and
yeah.
watch this happen.
I just, it just isn't my, I don't know.
I don't know. It seems kind of exciting.
But there are definitely people, like, when we did that, there were people that were like, okay, we have to do that. Like, people, I think, that have, like, a more competitive kind of nature, I just feel like are, like, all into something like that. Like, I want to beat the clock. We need to figure this out. We need to win. Whereas I'm like, if we figure out that clue, okay. Like,
I don't, okay.
It's not something that I feel, like, super drawn to.
I agree with you. To a certain degree, because I don't like competition at all. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be competitive because I always assume I'm going to lose. When, you know, growing up, my friends and I never liked to play video games against people. If we were on the same team, I would play that. Uh-huh. That was more fun. But you're not really competing. Like you said, you're only competing against the clock. Like, you're all trying to work together.
Yeah, but it's still just, so like feels, I don't know. Yeah, it's just not.
Wow.
Okay. I wouldn't choose to do it. You know, if I had to go do it, whatever, I'll go do it. But I would be more of a bystander than a active participant, probably. Okay. Like, if I have to look for finches with numbers, I'd be cool with that. I guess, like, oh, you know, I'll look for a bird with a number on it. But, like, I would not want the extra effort of trying to, like, figure out clues.
And, you're not doing Egyptian.
No.
You're not deciphering or finding hieroglyphics Alexis is here. Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, good to know. All right. Well, if we do it for my birthday, you can wait in the car or something like that.
Sounds good.
It's only an hour, apparently.
Yeah.
So they go into this room. And it is...
Oh, but before they go into this room, they are told that they need to place their phones in a locked box.
Right.
To which Johnny puts his phone in the locked
box. There's another phone in there.
Yeah.
I noticed. Somebody else put their phone in. Maybe I don't know if Patrick. It was Stevie. Patrick's totally on board. Yeah, mm-hmm. he would do this. One of my favorite parts of this is just very quickly, before they go in, when Patrick's talking about how it's a family tradition, they can't be here, and Boyer says, have they passed?
Yeah.
I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
So they go in, and it is a Galapagos Island.
Yeah, Charles Darwin Galapagos Island.
Yeah.
Versus... But it was called the laboratory, which is why Stevie did not really understand. She picked it because it was the easiest one. And had no idea that there was any sort of connection to the Galapagos.
Exactly.
Because obviously, as soon as it's the Galapagos, that sends Alexis just spiraling.
She's spiraling. Johnny's given up his phone. He's waiting for a phone call.
Right.
And Moira, I think, maybe I could be wrong, she just doesn't want to be here. I mean, she's already kind of upset about the whole radio commercial. Radio commercial? Yeah. Thing.
Yeah.
But she's very upset and pleads with, this is kind of, I hope that if escape rooms are real, and please let me know, people who may have done escape rooms, does some weirdo sit in there while you're trying to figure it out? Because that would make me feel very self-conscious if there's just a robed figure.
I don't know. I didn't think that was for real, but I don't know.
My experience is only through TV shows, and this is the only time I've seen a random person that's in the room with
you. Yeah, I feel like,
I guess just making sure you don't steal stuff or break things?
I have no idea.
Anyway,
I just assumed they watched you on camera.
Right.
Which is maybe worse. I'm not sure.
Well, they got to make sure you don't steal things as a souvenir or something.
Yeah.
It is strange that there is a person in there with them that Moira is pleading with to just let them out. Just give me the key.
Yeah. But Patrick decides that they should team up.
I love it. I wish we got more of the... This is one of the few episodes. One thing that this show does so well, and even when I think it's very difficult for them to do it well, to fit everything that's happening into a 22-minute episode, they do it really well.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably one of the only episodes where I was like, I wish it was longer. Oh. I wish we got more interaction between the teams, because we don't.
Yeah, we really don't.
The only team is David and Alexis.
David and Alexis, yeah. Yeah, but Stevie and Johnny are a team.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis and David. And then Patrick's like, well, I guess, Mrs. Rose, that means you and I are paired up.
Right. To where Moira decides to basically just sit on a chair the whole time.
Right.
While Johnny kind of just runs around looking for his phone, panicking that he can't have his phone.
Yeah.
I wrote this in my notes,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad that maybe the writers halfway through realized that I was going to have a problem with this.
Oh.
Because we watched Games Night, and one thing I wrote down is, why is David not into this? Not at first, but then he gets into
it. He's a big fan of games and optimum gameplay. Oh, very true.
I really do feel like a real strong part of their relationship is probably how into games both he and Patrick are.
We've never really seen
it except for maybe their housewarming to a certain degree.
Yeah, but maybe this is a different kind. It's not like a board game. Like because he references this, this is like a mind game and you're made to feel dumb.
But he gets into it.
He does. Like, it doesn't take that long. But that's not his first.
His first reaction is. Right. Like his whole family. I don't want to be here.
Yeah. But so he's like thinking about this, but then Alexis is saying, maybe I made a mistake. This is a sign. I think I'm losing my edge. So she's having like a, you know, kind of identity crisis.
Yeah. And she's talking about, you know, she maybe even I says to David, gone. Maybe I should have gone.
I should have. Yeah. And then this is when David's kind of like, okay, let me just like, basically, let me break it down for you. It would have been a mistake for you to go. Do you really want to follow a guy around the world?
Again.
Right. And this is when they kind of are like getting back in. And then we see them talking and then we get glimpse of like 684. They're looking for that and looking for information about natural selection.
Yes.
And then they announce that there's 52 minutes left to escape.
Johnny's phone starts ringing.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah, every time they find a clue, a drawer opens with something in it.
Yeah, then David has the fireplace. And then I think we like go to a commercial. And then when we come back, he's using like the fireplace stoker because he's trying to blow on these circles to get them to turn. And then they use that. There's a flashlight that they need so they can reveal like secret writing, like a black light kind of writing.
It's a lot. And I said they're all getting into it. Not really. Johnny and Moira still are not. Stevie just seems confused or impressed or everything's just happening around Stevie. And every time we see her, she's
like not like really sure what's going on. And they're startled. And but then they end up, I guess they're kind of asking Johnny, like, why are you so obsessed with this phone? Nobody else even put their phones in there. Why did you? And then he doesn't know how to. He was not revealing this whole franchise news with the family because he wanted to make sure things worked out. So he kind of decides that in this moment, in this escape room, when they have 52 minutes to escape, that he's going to share that information.
And they're so excited. Them. Like, this is the reaction he was hoping to get from Stevie and Roland.
Yeah.
That he didn't get. They're so excited. And it's almost like this, like, kickstarts that or gets them even more excited about getting out of this room.
I guess. Yeah. Because they want to get the phone and everything. So then Alexis really, like,
yeah, Alexis turns it on.
Yeah, totally.
She knows everything that's going on. Yeah. I love it how she's, it's about Egypt for a little bit. And
well,
then
she mentions like being in England with Tom Hardy and then she finds a candle and like knows what to do with that.
Because it's tall when it's young and it's short when it's old. That's the thing.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, a candle.
I don't, you know. Riddles? That's a thing I can't do. I cannot. Yeah. My brain doesn't work that way.
Like that. I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe.
Wait, it's not difficult like that?
No, but riddles. I don't know.
I hope it's
and then, a yeah, so then riddles? She figures out the Egyptian symbol because her friend got it tattooed when she was like 12
in
or something.
Grade.
Yeah. So she knew what that symbol meant. So like one by one, she just bangs out all the rest of the clues and they are out.
And you can see Patrick's upset by this.
But he's amazed. They're kind of amazed. Yes. Like, how did you do that so fast?
Patrick says that's pretty impressive, but you can see it on his face. And I love how it's not commented on, but he's, you know, he's the star of the escape room.
Well,
and
it was all for him.
Oh, and I have a feeling.
And he basically didn't, I mean, both he and David were kind of like yelling, like, look for this and find this. And he kind of became a background player.
That he thought, I'm going to bring a bunch of people in who have never done this. I'm going to show them how it's done. But he doesn't. Alexis does. And it leads to character growth, So the escape room assistant brings them out. Mm-hmm. And let's finally credit the escape room assistant.
Yeah.
Haley Pace is her name. She only has 4 IMDb acting credits to her name. This was the first. And she's mainly a production designer or art designers, things like that, and has done that on a variety of different shows. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, when Johnny gets his phone, finally, there are four voicemails. The first is from Moira that they have to find an excuse to get out of the escape room.
Right.
Then there's a message from David saying you can't bail on the escape room.
Yes.
And then it gets to Mike Morrison leaving a message. It's saying that it's a solid idea. Let's have a meeting 4 p.m. Tuesday in the New York office.
And they all cheer. They're all
excited. Yes, they all
celebrate.
Yes. And David's like, why am I still holding this? Because he still has the fireplace, right. Like stoker that he was using.
Yep. Let's give the Mike Morrison voice some credit, yes. Since he is credited. And also because he has an amazing name. His name is Rainbow Sun Franks.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. He has a ton of credits to his name. Not a whole lot that we've covered, but Lost Girl, Murdoch Mysteries, The Strain, and Umbrella Academy.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
The show you turned off because a monkey talked within the first 5 minutes. You're like, nope, not for me.
Ironically, though, Cabaret is, I remembered, my memory was jogged when you mentioned The Dancing Gorilla.
Well, if it was just a monkey dancing,
monkeys,
I think you might be into it.
Clearly are memorable to me.
Yes.
In shows.
Positive and negative, I guess.
Yeah.
So now, after a quick commercial break, let's go for drinks and appetizers to the Wobbly Elm.
Yeah, and we kind of open with David and Alexis talking. And David said, you know, like you were thinking about signs.
Yeah, like what does it mean that you got us out of the Galapagos?
You got us out of there, you know. Yeah. So that's a sure sign. And he's like, I think you need to let go of the succulent.
Mm-hmm. I do like how Alexis says, do you think maybe that plant died because it just needed to move to a different pot?
It outgrew its little pot, she said. And David's like, no, I watched you kill it. But then this is when Alexis kind of shares that she's like, you know, this has kind of made me see. Maybe it's time for me to be somewhere else, and I need a bigger pot
exactly.
to grow in.
Yes. To be continued.
Yeah.
But it's a really nice moment between these two where we used to get a lot of David and Alexis moments.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of them were conflict early on in the series.
Yeah, sarcastic.
And, yeah, but and I feel like, and I think we've commented
brother, sister,
on this.
Brother-sister heart-to-hearts.
Right, and I think we commented on this before with Ted and, you know, with Patrick. I feel like that kind of pulled those two apart a little bit, which is good. It allowed them to grow on their own, of course, but it is nice to have this.
Yeah.
And then Moira calls him over for a toast.
Even though David had said no speeches.
Right.
But it doesn't really matter because their toast is basically to Johnny.
It's
not
a,
at all to Patrick and toast. David and their upcoming nuptials.
Yeah. This is another moment I noticed because I was watching Johnny's face and he was kind of weirdly cringing through this toast. It was an odd look on his face.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's the fact that Moira uses words like Katzenjammer. I had to look up because she talks about how the day started as a real Katzenjammer or something, which means hangover.
Mm.
I didn't know that. And then I looked and there was a comic strip.
Well, did she come home and just drink after her tippy meeting?
I think she's just saying how it was a really rough day at first. I looked it up. There's a Swedish band called Katzenjammer.
Mm.
And there's also, there was a comic strip called Katzenjammer Kids from like 1914 to 1950 that ran. I don't know, a bunch of hungover children, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's kind of...
But David kind of says,
sorry,
like, oh, did you forget why we're here? It's our bachelor party. And then, of course, as they're standing there, the two cute little kid photos are behind them, to which he's like, I don't know who chose those photos because they were not approved.
Yes.
Because Stevie was so excited about them.
Oh, she was so happy.
She showed them
off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, initially to Johnny when they
Johnny,
were outside the motel.
Johnny got it and she was so happy
that
he was able to get that.
Yep.
Super fun.
Yeah.
And that's
how it all ends.
That's how this episode ends.
Wow, this is so great.
So at the end of every episode, listeners will know that we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best Schitt's Creek episode ever to the least best Schitt's Creek episode ever. So Carla, if this episode were an escape room, would you rather be in it with the Roses or the Brewers?
Oh, I don't know. The Brewers would do all the work, so maybe I'd be cool with that. Okay. I could just sit back and be the Moira.
Right. You could be like, oh, a drawer opened over here, everybody. I will turn this to you, and I don't know where you... You know what? You tell me what to do, and then I'll let you see your list again. Should I go lower?
I don't know. This was a fun one. Mm-hmm. I did like this one. I'm going to put it as my new number... 18. Yeah, I like this one.
All right, yeah.
It's fun. I like the Larrier part.
Love the Larrier
I liked part. The, I liked the escape room. It was fun to watch them, and yeah.
This is so funny. We do not sit and discuss where we're going
to
rank these.
We don't discuss anything ahead of time. If I try to say something, sometimes I get yelled at. Like, we should We should save that. No, don't talk about it now. We'll talk about it when we record.
All right. I think yelling is a little harsh.
Okay. Well, I've just kind of stopped doing it. I don't bring anything
up. Oh, my
up.
God. All right. Anyway, we don't talk about where we're ranking this stuff. And I thought you were going to say I ranked this a little bit too high. This is my new number 20.
Oh, okay.
So we're right.
No, like, I think it's a cute episode. It's
yeah,
fun.
It's a lot of fun. It's the family together, all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. So, again, thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for commenting. All the great stuff that you guys do. We can certainly be found on all the socials, everything like that.
All the socials.
What do you want me to say?
It just sounds funny.
I mean, we're not on TikTok. So if you're on TikTok, sorry, we cannot be found there. I'm sure there's great Schitt's Creek stuff on there, but one of those is not us. Yeah. So we will see everybody again in 2 weeks when we discuss the 12th episode of Season 6, The Pitch. Until then, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.